Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good Monday evening. It is very comfortable, 73 right now. This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Producer Johnny Buck, well, we've heard from the environmentalists on this Line 5 oil pipeline that runs under the Straits of Mackinac. Well, tonight we'll get the take from the Michigan Petroleum Association. Also, Detroit was on fire 50 years ago today. The riot was in full swing. But before that, it was one of the greatest cities in the world. David Moranis will be here, author of Once a Great City, a Detroit story. Hondo Carpenter will also be here tonight to talk about Mark D'Antonio and his comments during press days, the Big Ten press days. But let's begin with a man that is now officially running for Michigan governor, State Senator Patrick Kobach, launching his campaign this weekend. He is now right here with us on 1320 WILS. Senator, great to have you here.
Great to be with you, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, good. And what kind of schedule are you on now that you're officially running?
I'm on a nonstop schedule, tour of the state. I was just out in Grand Rapids, as a matter of fact, earlier this morning, celebrating the launch of yet another direct primary care practice in the state of Michigan. And it's kind of an important event because these direct primary care practices are helping us to make Michigan the center of a free market healthcare revolution, which is going to lower the cost of healthcare. It's going to improve access, and it's actually going to improve the quality of care across the whole state.
Yeah, what do you think state lawmakers can do to encourage that?
Well, we did something major along those lines already in the last budget. They passed my direct primary care Medicaid pilot, which is open to 2,400 Medicaid enrollees starting in October of this year. And if successful the way I anticipate it will be, it offers the opportunity to shave 20% off of our state Medicaid budget while getting people better care. And that translates to about a $3.5 billion savings for the citizens of Michigan.
Okay, you're saying they're going to leave Medicaid and go to this direct primary care system instead?
No, what it does is it separates out the catastrophic care and the primary care. And for the primary care, you use this direct primary care model. So you don't use the insurance company for that. You pay the physician directly for the primary care services. Mm-hmm. And this provides access to primary care physicians that right now Medicaid enrollees struggle to get to. So, and if you get the access to the primary care, you improve preventive care, and you keep them out of the expensive hospital visits and chronic conditions.
Talking to State Senator Patrick Kobach, now running for governor. And what kind of grade would you give Governor Snyder if you were to give him a straight letter grade right now?
Incomplete. We got a lot to do, and he vetoed a couple of my bills. So if he would have signed those bills, he would have gotten a mark. But right now he's incomplete. So okay. The last two out of three bills he vetoed. So
is he closer to an A or a C, would you say?
Well, let's see how it all pans out here. We still got we got about a year and a half here. He has a chance to put in some extra credit work. And so we'll see what he can do there.
Well, I mean, he's been in control. The Republican Party has been running Lansing for so many years now. What is it that you want to really do beyond what's been done so far in Michigan, then?
I want to fix our roads without increasing taxes, and the key to doing that is upgrade our roads to a higher quality roads that last longer. Mm-hmm. I've demonstrated time and time again how we could actually go off and do that.
Is that something you can do from Lansing, you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. And it takes some will to do it. Right now, whenever we talk about longer life roads, they just double up the bed depth, and that doubles up the material costs. Well, we've got our other ways. If you put on your thinking caps, put in sealants, and put in, they call them cement hydration catalysts, into the aggregate mix, the roads last 3 to 4 times as long, and they only cost about 15% more up front.
So not part of the whole roads package that we just passed?
Very good question. I think fundamentally people are not interested in building higher quality roads right now. Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that? Why would that not be the case then?
Well, there's a lot of possible reasons for it, but the bottom line is whenever we ask them to build longer lasting, higher quality roads, the only design they come up with is to double the bed depth. And that's not where the failure, without getting too technical on it, suffice it to say, they're not thinking in innovative ways on how to go off and fix our roads. And it's about time that We've kind of put an engineer in charge to say, guys, I'm tired of the true-false quizzes. It's time for multiple choice, and we got to make sure that one of those choices is actually benefiting our citizens instead of special interests that make money off of certain policy decisions that have been made over the last 7 years.
You got a career as an aerospace engineer, right? That's, I guess, one of the qualifiers.
Absolutely.
For you. When you talk about special interests as a senator in Lansing, how much pressure do you feel when you're ready to vote?
Well, the first few years I felt a lot. Last few years, not so much, but because they understand that I'm driven by a vote compass that I actually put out in place. When I first got elected, I said, here are the 10 questions we're going to ask on every bill that comes before us, and I stayed consistent to those principles all the way through. And I handed those out to lobbyists when they'd come out and meet me in my office. So for them, they make their money on being able to shift people from one position to another. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with coming up with, and I will collaborate with people on finding good solutions, but there are some bedrock principles I'm not going to violate. Mm-hmm. And if people are willing to come down and sit down and do some serious problem solving, put their thinking caps on, we almost always come up with a good solution. But that's not usually what happens inside of Lansing. They have a solution that's being pushed by one lobbying group, mm-hmm. and you're either for it or against it. And and I like to actually find the best solution possible for the taxpayers.
Are you saying lobbyists are somehow controlling the agenda here in Lansing?
They do, and they shouldn't. And, you need lobbyists. I value the fact that they're subject matter experts, but when your decisions about what bills get put on the floor or not get put on the floor, when your decisions about what version of a bill gets put up and what version doesn't get put up are only driven by the lobbyist interest, mm-hmm. and neglect the fact that as a state senator, I'm a lobbyist for over 250,000 citizens in my respective district, plus I'm supposed to represent the best interests of all of our citizens in the state of Michigan, there's a fundamental conflict there, and it should always default to the best interests of all of our citizens, not a special interest group.
So, I mean, how are they so convincing then? How are they so effective in Lansing then?
Because there's money that goes along with certain positions and certain votes. And
you're talking about campaign funds, that kind of thing? Or?
Yep, and sometimes it's not necessarily, it's done implicitly, it's not even done consciously sometimes, but they know that certain lobbyist groups are more friendly to their perspective, if you will, than others, and if they're friendly, then they're going to provide campaign donations, and everybody knows I don't play that game. I've always focused on getting more individual donations and making sure that I'm reaching a broad interest, mm-hmm. and it changes perspective. I don't know if you remember my strident opposition to Medicaid expansion and to Common Core standards. That comes with a price because there are certain lobbying organizations that want to push that. And when you stand up too tall and you actually provide alternatives or you actually, God forbid, you actually try to implement the policy positions upon which you ran for office on, there are some people that don't like that.
Okay. And, well, what price did you pay exactly?
Well, I'm the only returning senator that did not receive any chairmanships. And when I asked exactly why that is the case, I was told that because I oppose Medicaid expansion, which, by the way, is a Republican platform. It's Obamacare, Section 2001 of the Affordable Care Act. I took the position of the Republican platform, and I was penalized for it without any chairmanships. And second of all, my opposition to Common Core standards was listed. Mm-hmm. And that also is something that's subject to resolutions all the way through the Republican Party. There's a lot of Democrats and teachers in particular that are upset with those standards as well. So
do you think that will that be an impediment to becoming the nominee if the party is not really supporting you then?
Well, considering the fact that I think there's a temperature out there with the voters right now that says that they are sick and tired of politics as usual, they are sick and tired of people saying that they're going to take a certain policy position during the election and then reneging on it when they actually serve in office. No, I think actually we're in tune with the temperature of the electorate right now, and I think we're going to demonstrate that in our primary and in the general election victory.
Okay. And in terms of funding for your own campaign, where's that money coming from for you then?
Individual donations. And we've got some PAC contributions that'll be hopefully chiming in later down the road. But right now what we're focused on is just getting the word out, getting the name recognition out, making sure people are aware that there is an example of a public servant who's been fighting in their best interest mm-hmm. since the get-go. As you know, I never served in the House. My career has always been, I came into this just last 7 years. I was the first state senator elected directly into the state Senate without having held any other public office in over three decades.
So I'm curious, so when you see Governor Snyder, is he someone that's influenced by special interests, in your view?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is the Governor Snyder, is he someone that's influenced by special interests in his decisions?
I think he's got a fundamentally different perspective on certain things that it's not necessarily driven by special interests because, I mean, he put $6 million of his own money into his last campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That's just he's more in tune with the way certain people that are usually aligned with the special interests operate. So I don't think he's necessarily swayed in that direction per se, but he's just that's part of his chemical makeup, if you will, or part of his worldview.
I should note it is Republican State Senator Patrick Kobach, and he is now officially running for governor right here on 1320 WILS. Senator, let's talk again. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. If people want to follow us, go to kolbachforgovernor.com. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you. Yep, kolbachforgovernor.com is the website.